Good afternoon. This is 91.3 WESM. I'm Rakisha Cheatham, a student intern here at this station. Today we're in for a treat. I'm here with Mr. Vicente Hernandez, who is a poet, a student here at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, and an assistant manager at Getting Grounded Coffee Shop in Princess Anne. Vicente is here to talk about his latest album called Courageous, available online. And he's also here to talk a little bit about his interesting background. Thank you, Vicente, for coming in today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
When did you first become interested in poetry?
All right. So I think my first interaction with poetry was in the seventh grade by Miss LeCount. She was an English arts teacher, and I don't think I heard of poetry before then, like in a level that she presented it to us. And then from then on, I started with Roses Are Red, Violets Are Blue, mm-hmm. all my way up to where I am now.
Okay. So when did you start, like, actually getting on stage to perform?
I got on stage to perform right after both of my parents passed, mm-hmm. which is in about 2006. I needed an outlet, so I looked for the closest thing, and my sister took me to Bus Boys and Poets, a mm-hmm. Famous place in D.C.
I love that place.
Yeah. So I found my home there and mm-hmm. went from there.
So how old were you? If you don't mind me asking, by the way, how old were you when your parents passed away?
I was 15 mm-hmm. for my mother and 16 for my dad. Okay. I know it seemed like a 2-year difference, but it mm-hmm. was really like a year. Like, I just happened. One happened before my birthday, another uh-huh. one happened after my birthday.
Wow. I'm yeah. so sorry to hear that. So poetry is something that keeps you grounded. Do you have any other artistic pursuits that you're involved in? And why is poetry the most important out of all of them?
I love photography. Mm-hmm. I love being able to capture a beautiful moment. But at the same time, poetry allows me to create my own beautiful moment. I could take the hurt that I've been through or the happiness I've been through and just make it even more, like, wonderful. I think that's one of my favorite parts about writing. I can just manipulate something.
So as someone who writes poetry for a large audience, do you think those skills have also helped in other aspects of your life, perhaps in the classroom or even at, you know, work?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Being able to communicate to a large mass of people when it gets to a smaller site like a classroom or talking mm-hmm. to my employees, it makes everything easier, because if I'm not afraid in front of like 40 people or tons more answering a simple question, what's 2 + 2? Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm going to raise my hand, and teachers and people around me can notice that, like, okay, he has a sense of yeah. courage when he's speaking, and it's only because of practicing in front of the stage.
So when you first performed, did you have, like, nervous jitters or anything like that?
Yeah. Terribly, terribly nervous. And I think I'm still nervous to this day. I don't think the nervousness will ever leave, but I use that as energy mm-hmm. to push forward. Like, I think I stopped and just looked at the mic my first time wow. for, like, a good 2 minutes. So I was like, I can do this. And when I finally got it out, I was like, oh, this is home. Like, this is beautiful. And yeah. everybody was so supportive. I really went to a really supportive crowd. Mm-hmm. And since I got a positive reaction from them, mm-hmm. just took off running.
For a person that's not really, you know, experience with performing their poetry in front of an audience, do you have, like, any tips for them?
Yeah. I used to do this thing called Taking Over the City. And basically it was, I would go to each train station in D.C. and, like, just stand in the corner and just start spitting poems. Because at Gallery Place, there would be, like, performers playing. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting. So I was like, why can't I do that with the poetry? And it really helped me, like, build up my confidence, because if I can perform in front of random people just walking by, then I could do it on stage.
Yeah.
And it was really just me pushing myself, like, to just do it. And first time was horrible. Second time was horrible. First 20 times horrible. Mm-hmm. But it was just that practice, like, I could do this. I could do this. I can do this. And if you can make a random person stop and listen to you, then people that actually who bought tickets or went to the event specifically to hear mm-hmm. poetry, then they're going to be more receptive to what you have to say. So,
as I've mentioned before, you're an assistant manager at Getting Grounded. How did you get the opportunity to take that position?
Well, I was originally a manager at the Popeyes right across from campus. And I put in a good 2 years there, just really working my way up. I think I became a manager in like 2 weeks. My father had a real strong work ethic. Mm-hmm. And he always instilled in me, if you're going to work somewhere, work until you become the boss.
Right.
So every job I've had, I've worked until I became a boss. Mm-hmm. And they noticed that at getting grounded. And one day they were like, hey, do you want to work here? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then they brought, like, they didn't even have an assistant manager position. They, mm-hmm. like, created it for me.
So do you plan on, you know, opening your own coffee shop one day?
Yeah, that's definitely a goal. Mm-hmm. I have names and everything already in mind, like, business plans, mm-hmm. all that stuff. A lot of people ask me, like, what are you going to do after graduation? Like, what firm are you going to work for? A business administration major.
Mm-hmm.
But the business administration major, the diploma is just really a backup plan.
Yeah.
As soon as I get out of school, once I get the capital and the assets, I'm going to open up my own place.
Now, you're a full-time student, an assistant manager of a coffee shop, and you found the time to produce an album. Like, how do you juggle it all? That's crazy. Do you find any time to sleep?
I actually sleep very well. I go to sleep probably at 12 o'clock every day. It wasn't the easiest thing. I'm not going to lie and say it was. I take 18 credits. And I do about 40 plus hours a week. I just got up to 60 now, but
oh my goodness!
I don't know, when you have something you're passionate about, mm-hmm. you find time for it. I was in the gym the other day, and this guy was telling me people always complain that they don't have time, and he was like, "Why don't you just wake up earlier? Like when you have something you love, you'll take the hit of losing sleep or." Mm-hmm. In between breaks, while you're eating, let me write this or let me do that. Like, you'll find time for your passion. So that's exactly what I did.
I recently attended an open mic at Getting Grounded, where I saw you perform some selections from your album. How often does your coffee shop have open mic nights?
We have open mic nights every Friday now. At first, it was every first Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I started working there, I was like, this town needs some culture. We got to diversify this place, so every Friday now.
And anyone can just walk in and perform, like the mic is just open.
Mm-hmm. Anybody comes in, signs up, performs whatever their heart desires.
All right. So who are some of the jazz artists that has influenced your performance style? Because I noticed it was this one track that really stuck out to me. It's called Her Favorite Song. And you've made like references to some of the older, I guess, jazz artists.
Yeah, I always get commented that I have a old soul.
Yeah.
My father, he was born in 1931.
Wow.
So he probably had me like he was around 59, 60.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a lot of wisdom to pass down, and mm-hmm. a lot of it was from his time period, not this generation. So with that came his music, like Nat King Cole, Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday,
mm-hmm.
Fela Kuti, which is an African guy
that
a lot of people don't really know about, but he really took the rhythm from his motherland and like turned it into something powerful in mm-hmm. the States and everywhere else. So I think all music, like Big Bang and Louis Armstrong, all that stuff excites me.
That's really good. All right, so now we're going to listen to a track from your album, and it's titled Her Favorite Song. To me, it sounded like a love letter, but it's not the type that most people would expect.
She played a song for me. On the grand piano of my ribcage, she knew every note to hit to set my soul on fire. See, I was her instrument. Birthed in the crimson utopia of her womb, she pressed me out like the hard notes in the stretch of her trombone. See, she was my Duke Ellington in his prime. How she knew that only three notes were needed to make a beautiful movement in my life. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, your mere essence was divine. Including your voice box and cage in your throat, how you spoke with the passion of Ella Fitzgerald or Billie Holiday making big band music look cool in the 2000s, how you would say. These young girls only still swing their hips because they got the sound of jazz still in their hearts. Or the voice of Nat King Cole vicariously living through our souls, letting us know. It's only a paper moon and you could still dream big as long as you believe in me. Like the harmonica in the hands of the water with Cadillac dreams. Or like the guitar in the hands of Muddy Waters who only dream to be clean. Or like the eyes of Ray Charles who only dream to see yet gain sight to this new world. Every time he struck those keys, you are the reason why I have a heart like Sam Cooke. Dreaming to live in a wonderful world. Wrapped in the Afrobeat of Fela Kuti who used the rhythm from his motherland. So your heartbeat gives me purpose to strive to live a better life. And you taught me that they may have lived in black and white times, but turn those tube-like eyes of yours to only seeing love, a color that has no shade, like no one shade of man could play this type of music. So if I was to grab the flute, the violin, or even grab the harp, I would stroke those strings like the lashes inflicted to my ancestors who were told they amount to nothing. And I'll ask them, have you ever met my mom, whose lungs filled with the passion to enchant saxophones, and whose lips spoke love poems to the trumpets, and whose heartbeat, it led the drumlines to revolution. See, she's the reason why I give music a chance today. The reason why when I speak, butterflies fly out of my core playing an orchestra of her dreams as if I was her instrument.
Wow. Every time. Oh my goodness. It's just like time stops. That's love right there. Like, I'm sorry. That's love.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. So can you tell me what was going through your mind when you wrote the poem, and how big of an influence, you know, were your parents on your life and your craft?
Oddly enough, neither of my parents have ever heard me perform.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I think I dedicate a lot of my poems to them. It's like you said, love letters to them, like love letters to heaven. What was going through my mind? It was a lot. Most people say I'm a very happy person. And
you always have a smile on your face.
Yeah.
All the time.
To keep that joy, I got to express myself. And I got to express the hurt in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the type of person that wants to have a pity party. So I'll try to, like, hey, this is my story. But this is my story in a happy way. Like, you mm-hmm. can find joy in this, too. And I think that's what was, like, that was my main motivation for writing this poem. I think it was listening to some scatting from Ella Fitzgerald. And it reminded my mom just singing in the morning. And I was like, yo, she had to have an old soul, too, because she, you know, got with my father.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just thinking about all the things I used to hear her say and all the people she used to reference. And then the words just started coming.
Yeah.
But definitely my parents have to be an influence to all my poems, and definitely God too, because a lot of my best poems, I don't feel like I'm really writing it. Like, I feel like, you know, God's saying, yo, this is what you have to say here,
yeah.
this is what you got to say here,
yeah.
and this is what you have to say here, because sometimes I look back myself, or after hearing myself, I'm like, I didn't just say that. Like, mm-hmm. that's not me. Like, I can't take credit for this at all.
Oh, it's you. it's you. You know, despite all the things that you've been through, you still try to find the silver lining. And that's inspiring to me. You know, that's something that I will always remember. And I can, you know, really apply to my life. Like, when I'm feeling down, just kind of flip the situation and not look at all the negative and try to find the positive. So with your album, Courageous, what can listeners expect when they purchase a copy?
As soon as you play the album, the first track is about trying to capture beauty that is just too beautiful for you to, like, capture.
Mm-hmm.
And once you capture, trying to tell somebody else that story, I find courage is a thing that a lot of people don't talk about too much, or I try to push people to, like, be brave and be strong. So in this CD, I try to talk about things that I know other people are probably afraid to talk about,
mm-hmm.
or pain that other people are afraid of revealing in themselves.
Right.
So I do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was a really tough CD to write.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of poems that I considered to put on there,
mm-hmm.
but I was like, I don't think it's ready for this one.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. I had a vision for it, but at the same time, like I do with my poems, I just feel like God was leading me in a direction, and he was like, this needs to be here. This doesn't need to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's good. Now, how can listeners purchase a copy of your album?
Two main ways.
Mm-hmm.
You can either go to my website, which is vicentethepoet.com, and that's V-I-C-E-N-T-E, thepoet.com. You can also just go to iTunes or Amazon or any of those things. Just type in Vicente Hernandez and Courageous, and my CD pop up.
Okay, and once again, when are the open mic nights at Getting Grounded?
They're every Friday from 7 to 9 p.m. And, yeah, you can do some karaoke, too, there, too.
Okay, all right. I might hit the mic next time, you know.
Great, we're happy to hear you.
All right. Thank you again, Vicente, for stopping by today. If you're just tuning in, I've been talking to Mr. Vicente Hernandez, who is a poet and student at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore and also assistant manager at Getting Grounded in Princess Anne. Once again, please make sure to check out his CD, Courageous, and the open mic night every Friday from 7 to 9 p.m. at Getting Grounded. It was a pleasure to have you here, Vicente, and I wish you the best on your future projects.
You too. Thanks again.